This is HPR episode 1704, entitled Introducing Jeffrey Powers Akagikazine. It is hosted by Daya and is about 26 minutes long. The summary is, Jeffrey Powers talks azines and his other tech sites.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
So I was asked to do a follow-up on my introduction to the Netizen Empowerment Federation. Specifically, I was asked to talk a bit more about the goals of sportazine.com and how it fits into the free culture movement. I felt the best way to talk about what sportazine is and where we're headed was to bring in my sportazine.com co-founder, Jeffrey Powers. How are you doing today, Jeffrey?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. So before we get into this little interview, I just want to very briefly say that the sports industry is a huge industry. So May 2011 estimate puts it at somewhere between 450 billion pounds. So that was at the time, $480 to $620 billion. And we'll have a link for that information in the show notes. That was the most recent I could find. So it's probably gone up. So whatever you think about sports, it's foolish to ignore it as an industry. And if you want to change things in the sports industry, either because you love sports and you don't think things are run well, or because you just don't like sports and you wish they would go away, you're not going to convince anybody by shouting at them. And I don't think you're going to convince anybody by, you know, quietly being condescending that people like sports. So that's why I think that it's important that there be a free culture presence in sports. You know, nobody else is doing it, so that's why we decided to take up the mantle and do that. Now, it didn't start out that way.
No.
It just started off, I wanted to get into sports journalism, and then, you know, things went from one thing to another, and that's sort of where we led. I guess before we get into some of the more personal questions, since I brought up that things have sort of changed in sportazine, how has things changed from your initial vision of what sportazine was and how it would fit into your projects?
Well, I started back in 2007, I started a website called Geekazine, which is geek and tech culture. I was an IT administrator getting out of the game and getting into more into podcasting. And my envisionment was to actually have more of a network of websites using the Azine line. So we have Geekazine, we have Dorkazine, Sportazine, of course. Dorkazine's kind of like silly little bits and pieces. My brother first suggested that I put it together, and so it's kind of his website. And then Sportazine, I think you were the one, Doug, that kind of suggested it. And
then that's
right. And then we just put it together. And then you kind of ran with it from there. excuse me. I also have some other azines like Wikazine, which is my all-encompassing wiki for the whole site. And then a couple other azines that have kind of sat in the dark with some other websites that I have that don't follow that same pattern. But the whole idea is to get it back on track and have the azine network back online.
So all of the ones that you're talking about, both the Azines and the otherwise, they're all under the JMP banner. That's correct?
Yeah, JMP Enterprise.
Yeah. So what are some of the ones that aren't in the Azine network, just so people can get a feel for what you have going on?
Well, we have mostly podcasting stuff. So Day in Tech History, which is a full rundown of tech history. I did have iPad 365, which was a podcast about iPad apps, but that since has closed. I closed it 6 months ago. I'm going to be rebranding it as App Wild. And that hasn't come out yet. And then, of course, Wearable Today, which is a weekly show that myself and another person, Luke Wallace from down in Dallas, do. We talk about wearable technology, plus a few others that, you know, still working on.
So iPad 360 is still in your signature for your email.
iPad 365, so, yes.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, 365. 360 and 365 both work, though. So.
Yeah.
As far as names. So I thought this would be interesting. We got, you know, it's mostly a tech-focused radio station here on HBR. So I thought people might be interested in just the type of tech history that you do. So I don't know if you've done the stuff for the 16th yet. I don't know when it comes out. But just to give people a piece, if it's not today, like yesterday's, it's going to come out in a couple weeks, this show. So it won't be current, but just to give them a piece of the type of history you do, what was the thing for yesterday or today? Well, or even tomorrow, if you want to get
well, that. That's the cool thing about it is I just started with Day in Tech History. We have an archive over at dayintechhistory.com/dayintechhistoryarchives. And so you basically, you go into the archive, you can see what happened on each and every day. So if we went, let's say, 2 weeks in advance, that would be the 27th. On January 27th, the Magnavox Odyssey, the production began. So that's one of the things that happened on around that time. So I have a full archive. I'm doing it a little bit different this year. Every year, basically, what I would do is I would close out the post and then I'd create a new post. But this year, what I'm doing is I'm actually creating a second year's worth of posts because I find that a lot of people link to them, and then those links stick around for about 2 years. And then disappear. So it'll double the amount of content that's on my website. There'll be two, like for instance, January 16th, there's two January 16ths. And then it'll be able to go back and forth. And each year I add a little bit more to it, cleaning it up and making it more special.
And how much depth do you go into that? Is it like a minute, 10 minutes?
Oh, it's a full rundown. So it's basically, I talk about what happened, just a rundown. If you go to wikizine.com to the Day in Tech History Project, I just read right from there. So it'll say like 1907, this happened, 1923, this happened, 1991, this happened, just like that. So you'll get everything that I've found that happened on that day in technology history.
Very cool. So we've got a lot of developers and just general technologists that listen to HPR. Some of them might be interested in coming on your shows for interviews. Do you do interviews for any of your sites?
Oh, yeah. For Wearable Today, we do interviews, and I'm working on another show that would do interviews. I haven't figured out what I would do for App Wild just yet. It is definitely going to be in a different format. I'm also working and most of this is video. Day in Tech History is the only exception, which is an all audio format. But most of it is video, and I'm working on getting some new video production gear in so I can better, stronger, faster type stuff.
And so is the App Wild, is that still going to be iOS focused, or is that going to
include Android apps as well? No. That's the best part about it is apps happen everywhere. I mean, Google, well, now the extinct Google Glass had apps. iOS has apps. Android has apps. Your TV has apps. Your set-top box like Roku or Amazon TV, those have apps. So I wouldn't be surprised if your refrigerator, your dresser drawers, your washer dryer will eventually have apps. And that's what we'll cover with App Wild.
So if you'll indulge me just a second, I had not heard that Google Glass is extinct. Did they just rename it, or what?
They're retiring, and this is something we talked about on Wearable Today. They basically, back in June, they introduced Android OS, or Android Wear, Android Wear for the watches and stuff like that. And Google ran on Google X operating system, and we kept talking about it. It's like they're not going to keep operating system for one thing, they're going to try and switch it over. So yesterday they made the announcement that they're closing out Google Glass And Ivy Ross, who they hired about 6 months ago, will be heading up a team for the next iteration, which we're calling right now Android Wear Glass. So it's not that their headgear is going away. Right. It's that they're recouping, or they're reorganizing, and they're going to come out with another piece of headgear that's going to probably look more like glasses and have a lot more functionality. And of course, hook up with the using the Android Wear, so your watch, your phone, and your headgear will all work as one.
So that'll be ironic that it'll look more like glasses after they've wiped the glass name away from the project.
But... Well, we're thinking it's going to be like Android Wear Glass, but it's not going to be Google Glass.
Right. Yeah, because then I guess other manufacturers could use the Android Wear, you know, Samsung, etc.
Yes. So. Yeah, just like the Android operating system, phones use Samsung and them use the Android operating system. They just reflavor it to their designs. They'll do the same thing with whatever headgear they make.
Very cool. So let's get back on track.
Okay.
That's totally my fault, but I was curious. And since it is a tech show, I figured people would be interested. Even if it is going to come out 2 weeks late, so as far as the news cycle comes. So we were talking about interviews. How do you vet interviewees? You know, like, do they need like a certain amount of Twitter followers, just so people don't, you know, you don't get flooded with like 1,000 people that want to be on your shows?
If I got flooded with 1,000 people, then I'd put together these protocols. But so far, anybody that calls up and says, "Hey, I want to be on the show," there has to be some sort of validation. A couple of years ago, I did a show called The OTT, which was over the top television, talking about set top boxes. I had my co-host was a guy from, he was in Florida, and he had no real credentials. He just wanted to be on the show. It's like, okay, let's do the show. And then there we go. Depending on the show, I mean, it's wearable today. Of course, you gotta show that you have some wearable knowledge. But if you want to just get on the show and just say, yeah, that's cool, I don't have a problem with that. But of course, as we grow and if we get more people, then I'll start thinking about stuff like that.
Cool. So if somebody did want to do that, what would be the best way to get in touch with you? Would it be email, Twitter?
Geekazine. Think magazine, put in a geek, you've got Geekazine. Think magazine, put in sport, you got Sportazine. But yeah, geekazine@gmail.com. Twitter handles Geekazine. I'm on facebook.com/geekazine, plus.google.com/plusgeekazine, or plus Jeffrey Powers. That would work too.
Cool. So I'm going to move into a little bit more of some sports questions here. We got like the first intro into the sports section is,
should I get my sports voice going on?
Yeah, if you want like a big announcer sport.
And now we move to the sports. How's that?
That was wonderful.
Thank you.
So where are we speaking to you from today? I mean, I know this answer, but
you are in beautiful Madison, Wisconsin.
I think people are going to either love it or hate it if you do that for all these questions.
I will try. Video killed the radio star. Okay, that's enough.
So what are your favorite sports to either watch or play? And I guess you can say which ones.
My favorite sports are, football. I, of course, I'm a Packer and a Badger fan, which, of course, this Sunday, it's a love-hate relationship because the Packers are playing the Seahawks. Packers, of course, from Green Bay and Seattle, having Russell Wilson, who was a Wisconsin Badger, and is the offensive coach, which is Daryl Bevel, which I actually went to school with at the University of Wisconsin. So it's I'm a hometown sports fan, and mostly in the football-related field. Football, hockey, professional wrestling, that's pretty much it.
That's one that we haven't done on the site is professional wrestling, although we did have some MMA content for a while.
So. But that's not professional. Those are two different things. So.
Right, exactly. So got to ask about the Packers.
Okay.
They could be out. I'm not sure when the Super Bowl is, what the date is. I know there's a week off, so I guess it's February 1st this year would be my guess. So probably the Super Bowl will have already happened, so people will be able to see if you're a psychic or not. How far do you think the Packers are going to go?
I think that, Seahawks are really good. And of course, they blew the Packers away first week. Packers have changed their what they did from the first week. I mean, we have on defense, we have and names escaping me right now. How they've been switching them back and forth between outside linebacker and inside linebacker. I think that we've got a different team. We still have Aaron Rodgers, who has the bad left leg, so that'll definitely play a factor. But in watching the game against the Cowboys, it really showed that he was that Aaron Rodgers was very versatile and he could still get the ball out. I wished it would have been a higher scoring game than what it was, but it was. That's what it was. And so I think we're going to have a really great game this Sunday. And yeah, of course, I'm going to say the Packers are going to go to the Super Bowl again. And I'm going to say the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl.
I have to say, too, for people that don't follow the NFL, both the Packers and the Seahawks are 13-4. So it's not like, I mean, even though Seahawks are favorite, if for nothing else, because it's in Seattle, It should be a good game. So,
yeah. So, and then, of course, Phoenix being where the Super Bowl is. So, it really depends on what happens in the next at this game. So it's going to be a great game. A lot of people are going to watch it, and it's going to have a lot of fun.
Very nice. So one thing that sort of crosses over between sports and some of the tech stuff is video games, and not just sports video games. Mm-hmm. So when players come from other countries for big video game tournaments, they actually get athletic visas in the U.S. So if there's a big StarCraft tournament, they're gonna be treated as athletes by the U.S. government for visa purposes. And ESPN has started getting in the game and airing video game tournaments. Not, you know, EA Sports, you know, or Madden or any of those sorts of things, video game tournaments, just like regular old video games have started doing that. So it's becoming more competition-based. But I just wondered if any of the tech stuff that you do, how much they cover video games, if people are really into video games. Surely that has to come up on, like, Day in Tech History.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of video game tech history. But I had to kind of put a line. And a lot of the video games were things where, like, this video game came out, it got acquired. So I decided to do it just like movies. If the video game had an impact of some sort, then it's part of the day in tech history. Just like with a movie, if you'll see movies like Metropolis, you'll see movies like Weird Science. These are all cult classics that that you'll probably show your kids and remember the day that you saw it in the theaters. That's the stuff that'll be in Day in Tech History. The Ultima series, I grew up on those games. So I'm, you know, those are definitely in the Day in Tech History because they have an impact on me. World of Warcraft and stuff like that, important dates, and go from there. As for gaming, you know, I'm not as much of a gamer. So I don't follow that realm as much as a lot of people want me to. I know, like, for instance, next month, Madison Comic Con, which is the first time that they're doing this. They're going around to multiple cities and doing a Comic Con, and ours is going to be the first week of February. And I'm debating whether I'm going to get tickets or not. I mean, it's nice, and I know I'll get some traction if I go to these conventions and report on the cosplay and report on the gaming. But on the other hand, does it really follow what Geekazine is or what I want Geekazine to be about? It could also work with Dorkazine, so, and that's why I have this multi-layered website. But that's where I kind of stand on gaming and stuff like that. Yes, and I've seen it as a sport multiple times. In fact, I remember back in the late 80s, early 90s, I remember a game show where people were pitted up against playing a Mario Brothers game or something like that, or a pinball machine or something like that. And then, of course, the winner got like a few thousand dollars or whatever the prize was. And that was that was interesting. But in today's gaming, I could definitely see game show TV shows and stuff like that.
Cool. So this is kind of a one-off question, but we talked about sports and we talked about tech. You're also into music, and you had at least a band. Last I heard, you had a band. So you're still in the band. What's the name of the band? Where can people check out your music?
Band is called Trailer Kings over at trailerkings.com. We're actually playing the next few Saturdays. Lots of great music. We're a cover band, and we call ourselves garage rock experts. And if you're not sure what that is, basically garage rock is when you're in a band in a garage, you're like, yeah, let's play this song. Oh, that's great. Let's play this song. Oh, that's great. And then it's just kind of having fun, drinking beers, playing songs that you know. And of course we've got years and years of experience of musicians that know how to play our instruments and have a lot of fun with the songs. We don't have set lists, so you could walk up and you could suggest a song. And of course, if it's Justin Bieber, we'll laugh you off the stage. If it's not, if it's something that we can play, we'll play it. And we have a lot of fun doing that, and we get a lot of our crowd really organize our crowd really into what we do, because you know, we're just like the dueling pianos of bands, because you know, you can choose from a list or we can just play what we play.
Cool. And do you guys just play in Madison or in Wisconsin or
we've gone our farthest gig was actually in Grand Rapids, Michigan, which is farther than you think because there's a lake in between. Right, so right. you have to drive around the lake. So we're not opposed to playing outside of Wisconsin. It's happened few and far between. In fact, I just realized the people that got married that we played for them in Grand Rapids, Michigan, his brother is getting married, and we're actually playing their gig in, I think it's in September or something like that.
Nice.
So
yeah, I once looked into going to Detroit for a game from Madison when I lived in Madison.
Yeah.
And, you know, you wouldn't think it would take that long to get there, but you know, you have to go all the way around south to get, around Lake Michigan and stuff. We actually, a friend and I, we looked at using the ferry across Lake Michigan, but it's kind expensive. Yeah. So, yeah.
Especially if you bring yourselves, it's not that bad. But if you take a car, right, that's where the cost comes in.
Yeah. So Jeff, I'm sure we can talk forever, but was there anything else that I missed in asking you questions that you want to tell the good people of HPR?
Well, the basic thing is that, you know, Geekazine, I go around, I do a lot of video, I do a lot of audio. I was just at the Consumer Electronics Show, and then I hopped a plane back here, and then I hopped a plane, speaking of Detroit, I hopped a plane to Detroit to cover the North American International Car Show. I'll be out there at South by Southwest. I'll be out there at National Association of Broadcasters is my future schedule. After that, no plans just yet. I also do a lot of independent video stuff that I create video for, but you'll never see my name on it. It's for other companies. So I do a lot of one-on-one videos. So I couldn't tell you where to check them out because they're clients and that would not work. So, but the bottom line is that I'm out there in the space on social media. As a podcaster, I do some podcast coaching, and I have a group on Google Plus called the Podcasters Community, where people talk about podcasting. Other than that, I'm talking with social media people all the time, so you can check me out over at Geekazine, geekazine.com.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us today on HPR, Jeff.
All right. Thanks a lot, Doug.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club, and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.